Well, it's good to see you all here today. This typically is our lowest Sunday of the year. You realize that? So it's good to see all your faces. I didn't know what was going to happen, although I did know this ahead of time, that our attendance for the camp out this year is down. So I figured there's going to be more people here than from that perspective. But this is kind of this is vacation time. Isn't the nice weather? Good to do that kind of stuff, huh? But I'm glad you're here, and we're going to talk on a subject of the church. Not going to follow Sid's message. He's got one more yet, I think, in James, and then he's going to move on to other things. But why don't you just talk about the church? And we used to sing a song in Indonesia with the tribal people. Aku la gereja, kamu la gereja, kita semuanya gereja. Now you got that, right? It's about the church, isn't it? I am the church, you are the church, we are all the church. And that's an important concept for us to really get. Because the tendency is, in our tradition, in our culture, what do we think of the church? We go to church, don't we? We go to a building. The church is not a building. This structure here is not a church. Now, you call it a church, that's fine. We all call it a church, right? But the real meaning of church from the Scriptures is us. People who have put their trust in Christ, and God wants to use us together. And so I want to talk about this morning. But before I get into some of those Scriptures that talks about the church and the function of the church, I'm excited to be a part of Open Door Bible Church. Because I believe we are an exceptional church. There's, this morning, 27 people left on a missions trip. Okay? We do have a perspective of a church of caring for other people without the gospel, right? It's exciting to me to hear the stories of us, of different ones that are witnessing to their friends and neighbors and ask me to pray. Will you pray for me? I'm going to talk to my coworker at work or whatever the circumstances. And people are getting saved through the body of Open Door Bible Church. That's how it's supposed to work, right? That's how it's supposed to work. We're all to be serving together and being that part of the ministry that God wants for us. And that's exciting to me. Not only do we have a youth team, or not a youth. I guess when you're getting close to 70, you're not youth anymore, huh? But anyway, they're there. Pray for Jean. She has to put up with all those youth down there, you know. All they're complaining about how hot it is and all those kind of things, you know. But they're going to have a good time. And God will use them as they allow themselves to be used. But you realize there's other things that's gauges of a church family. The fact that of the 10 full-time missionaries that we support from the church, 7 of them are members, have come out from Open Door Bible Church. There are 6 families and 1 single. Okay? We have, I know, at least one that's come out from the church that's in a full-time pastorate, right? Luke Hatfield. I couldn't think of anybody else offhand. There's probably others. We've had others that's been a part of the church family, went out in mission field for a while and are back doing other things in the States now, too. Why I say that, let me tell you one other thing. You may not all know, we have 4 families in a single that are either in training to be missionaries, full-time missionaries, or have applied to mission organization to become missionaries. Okay? That's exciting. They're people that's from us, from within the church family. And why I say that is when we were on a mission field, I don't remember what year it was, but I remember the churches I grew up in, the first church I grew up in, and went there until I was about 14 years old, and then we went to a different church. It was closer Well, the first church, frankly, wasn't really teaching the Scriptures right. But they wanted to include me as being a son of the church family, if you will. when they had their centennial celebration and put a little article in their little booklet they made up of going into the ministry from that church. Well, the sad thing was, in 100 years, only myself and one other man had ever went into a full-time ministry vocation from that congregation in 100 years. Isn't that sad? Then we went, our family, we went to a different church. They, in that time when we was on the mission field too, they had their 100th anniversary. There's four of us that had went into ministry. Three had went into pastorate ministry. And then myself went into missions. But in 100 years, that's all that ever responded to that ministry of being full-time in ministry. I'm excited to see those that have gone out from our church family to be involved in that thing. Now, it doesn't mean that that's the only way we can be involved, right? I don't want to give the wrong perspective. But that's something that we don't normally measure how we're doing by those kind of things. See, do what we believe and what we try to practice here, does it really impact our lives and our young people that they're excited about the Christian life and about getting the gospel out to the ends of the earth or not? See? What is it about? Is it just to come to a building once a week and yet you do the religious thing and worship God and listen to a sermon and nod off when it gets boring and that kind of stuff, you see? Is that what it's all about? Or is it, do we realize that we are the church? We are God's instruments in this world today to reach the world with the gospel, whoever will listen. Now we know that not everybody's going to be saved. But God wants to use us to get that message out. Isn't that true? We believe that, right? Well, if we don't rethink some of the cultural things about church and quit thinking about buildings as being the church and realize we are God's people, He's entrusted us the job of getting the gospel out. The church started in Acts chapter 2, right? On the day of Pentecost. Now that's important for us to understand. It didn't start when Jesus began His ministry. That was still under Judaism, if you will. The presentation to the people at that time was basically, the king is here, if you will. The kingdom is at hand. The Messiah is here. The promised one from the Old Testament is here. Repent and trust in Him. Believe in Him. And God offered them to set up the kingdom. But they rejected Christ, did they not? How we know the distinction there is because in Acts chapter 10, when Jesus sends out His disciples to the apostles to go from village to village, He told them, go specifically to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Do not go to the Samaritans. Do not go to the Gentiles. But go to Israel. That time period was for Israel to recognize Jesus, the Messiah, was here and believe in Him. But when they rejected Him and He went to the cross, died for His sins, rose again, what was the message after that? In Acts 28, we have the Great Commission, right? And verse 18, He says, all authority has been given to Me in heaven and earth. Therefore, go and do what? Preach to all the nations. Make disciples of all nations. To all nations. Not just to the Jews anymore. Now, when we move a few days further from that, Jesus says that right before He ascended back into heaven, He says, John baptized you with water, but you're going to be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. It was something new that had not happened before. This kind of experience, if you will, that the Holy Spirit would come, baptize them, and indwell every believer. He wants to use every one of us. When we put our trust in Christ as Savior, we then become a part of His agency, the church, now. And we're all to be involved in accomplishing God's purpose of reaching the people all around the world with the gospel. baptizing them, it says, and then teaching them to observe all the things that I've commanded you. That's the commission of the church, is it not? We know that. But think of it. God, the Holy Spirit, is within each one of us to have trusted Christ. He wants to empower us to accomplish that job, that mission, and will use us as we're functioning in the ministry that He has for us. Isn't that exciting? Does it excite you or not? I mean, we get bogged down in our traditions of things and don't think about what's really about. But God has decided and planned this thing, very unique plan. See, but our our traditions mess us up. We think of buildings as a church. We think of clergy that's supposed to do the ministry. Have you heard the term used for pastors, the minister of the church? Where does that come from? The minister is supposed to do all the ministry. He's supposed to do everything. That's what they pay him for, right? But that's a wrong concept. That's not a biblical concept. And we're familiar with Acts. I mean Ephesians chapter 4. Turn there if you have your Bibles with you this morning to Ephesians chapter 4. Because there is a summary of how the church is to function. In verse 7 to start, it says, to each one of us grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. In other words, every person that trusts Christ as their Savior has a spiritual gift. God has given not only the Holy Spirit to indwell us, but a specific gift of how we are to function together as a church family to accomplish His purpose of reaching the world with the gospel. You jump down to verse 11 and 12. It talks about He gives the apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. The idea of equipping the saints. There are those who are to equip the saints, every believer, for the work of service. In other words, every saint is to do their part in the service of the church. Is that not true? We believe that, do we not? We're all to have a ministry. And what's it accomplish? To the building up of the body of Christ. That's the goal that God has for us in the church, that we're to encourage each other, build each other up. So when we come together as a church family, is our main concept that I'm going to be sitting in a pew, I'm going to listen, I'm going to worship God in the singing, I'm going to worship God by my offering that I can give, and I'm going to listen to the message to be instructed of what God wants to teach me today. Is that all we think about, or do we come with a goal and a purpose of ministry, of encouragement to one another? I think it's important that we see that aspect, that we're not just coming as a consumer, if you will. What can I get out of this? But what can I give to the others as we meet together? And I see that. Don't you see that? The interaction of our church family, it's exciting to see, isn't it? There is encouragement going on. But what we got to realize that some of the things that we don't see as readily are sometimes more important aspects of the function of the body of Christ. How we encourage one another, how we reach out to one another. That's vital important for the function of the body of Christ. Hebrews talks about we need to stimulate one another to love and good deeds. When we come to assemble together, most of us don't see each other during the week. When we get together, we need to be that encouragement to each other, to stimulate one another, that we live out the Christian life, and that we practice the commission of the church of reaching out to others with the gospel, right? That's what we're really supposed to be about. Now, there's a lot of concepts, again, that we can get bogged down into. We come, and our intent is to meet all of our friends, all of our good friends that we have in the church family. But if we think that alone, that we're coming here just to see my best friends, you see, you're not thinking the whole body concept of everybody together. And we'll leave people out. Particularly in these days in our church family, we have the three services, Saturday night and the two Sunday morning. We don't meet everybody that comes as a part of the Open Door Church family in each week if you come to the same service each time, right? So it's hard to know everybody. It's almost impossible to know everybody. And then we always have some visitors and guests that come as well each week. But can we in our hearts and minds think, when I come, who can I minister today to encourage? Who would God want me to speak to encourage? Look around when you come. Is there anybody you don't know? That's somebody you can reach out to. You know, and just say hello and welcome here. Now, they may have been coming here for 4 or 5 years. They just decided to come to a different service and you meet them for the first time. You know how that goes, right? Get all embarrassed because we think they're new and they've been here for years. And that happens. Yeah, that's okay. But the job is to encourage one another, build one another up so that we will stay the course of what God wants us to do, of reaching the world with the gospel. That's important. Otherwise, what we tend to do is in our consumerism thing, we come and just try to teach me something. You know, you sit back there and, Sid, you just give me something I really want to hear. You know, we can have the wrong attitude about the whole thing, right? Oh, I've heard the Bible taught so many years, I know it. Just try to give me something new, you know. That's a whole wrong flavor, isn't it? But we can degenerate into those kind of thoughts, can we not? Because if we get in the mode of that we're just supposed to receive rather than minister, serve, giving out, encourage, we will get in the wrong mindset. Another aspect, I forgot to mention this before, I want to mention it, that's exciting to me about Open Door, that as a pastor, sometimes it's discouraging. People come, they're part of the church family for a while, and then they move away. When you've really got to know them and enjoy these people and become friends with them, and they move away. But you know, that's another aspect of the church we don't normally think about. God entrusted people to us to come to Christ. And in the last month, I don't know if you realize that, there's at least two families that have come back in the last month that came to the church. They weren't relatives of us here, but they came to the church, got saved and came, or came and got saved, and got involved in the church family and the ministry, and grew through the messages from the Word of God, Bible studies that they attended, and now they moved to other parts of the country. And it's so refreshing to hear for me as they come back and they tell their stories of they're leading a Bible study in their church where they're at now. And you need to pray for us because, boy, there are some issues there and this and that, and they tell about what they're facing as they're going out with the training, the learning that they had as new believers here in the church, and now they're out in another area ministering. That's an extension of our ministry here, isn't it? But see, it isn't us. It's God's ministry, isn't it? Do we understand that Christ is the head of the church? He's in charge of all those things. And it isn't about how big we get as a congregation, how many people attend, or how small a congregation, right? Those things aren't the issue. Are we carrying on the ministry that God has for us individually and then collectively, and seeing the ministry accomplished in people that are scattering all the world? It'd be interesting. I don't have the statistics at all. But in the, 34 years? Open Door has been here? Is that the right years? 33, 34, 77? Isn't that when the church was started, somewhere like that? In this amount of time, all the people that has been apart for a season and it moved and involved in other ministries in different places, it's exciting to think the potential and the impact that as a church, a local church, that we've had on different parts of the world and different places. Isn't that exciting? It excites me in that sense. When I see people leave, that never excites me. But it is part of God's plan. We aren't all to stay in one place forever. We aren't just to grow and become a big church. We're to follow what God has for us in our lives and in ministries. But we talk about the church. The church is all believers from Pentecost to the rapture. Christ is the head of the church. He's in charge. Now that's another thing that tradition has messed up on, you see, is taking the headship away from Christ and giving it to humans. That there's leaders in denominations and that kind of thing, and they tell local churches what they're supposed to do and what they're not supposed to do and how much money they're supposed to send to the headquarters and all this kind of stuff that gets us sidetracked from what God's intention really the church is. Because the church is to be dynamic and living and alive. And local church, though you don't find these words in the New Testament, it's supposed to be self-governing. If you study through the book of Acts and the epistles, the church is to be, the local church is to be self-governing. It's supposed to have its own leadership. It's to be self-financing, self-supporting. We're not to wait for a Warren Buffett to give us a million or two, okay? To build a new building. If he wants to, I guess we would take it, wouldn't we? But that's not the point, see. Because we can accomplish God's ministry with or without a building. It's sure nice to have a place to come and meet. Meeting in the park this morning might be a little warm, maybe, huh? Be better than meeting in January in the park. But it's nice to have buildings. But buildings, it wasn't really a part of the thing. It wasn't there in the beginning in the New Testament church. But we're to support the ministries that we do, that we have together. What it takes, we're to give. Pool the real resource in that sense. As God purposes in our heart to give. And we can worship God in that sense and carry on the ministries that He has for us. The other thing is self-propagating. Are we continuing to get the gospel out, you see? Are we so self-focused that all we can see about is about me and what I can get out of this church and not realize that our goals really is to teach our young people? When we have Sunday school, we're taking a summer break, right? But these kids, these children in our Sunday school, do we pray for them? Do the Sunday school teachers, are they thinking this might be a missionary going, or this might be a pastor someday? Or they may be leading the women's ministry or the men's ministry or being involved in some way in church life and function. I need to prepare them for their ministry ahead. Do we think that way? Or do we go with our Bible story or whatever and just try to fill the half hour? I suppose we've all been there sometime or other, huh? Just fill the slot because we weren't as prepared as, or didn't have the time to prepare, all those kind of things. But think of the potential of passing on to the next generation. Will Open Door Bible Church be here for a centennial? Or when we die off, some of us, we around here longer than others, or the rapture takes place, well, then we don't have to worry about it. Okay? God will be done with us. But will there be an Open Door Bible Church? will open to our Bible church 100 years from now be faithful to teach the Word of God? Or will we have wandered away from the fundamental foundation of God's Word? See? Well, that depends on us, how well we do our job in this generation to reach the next generation. Isn't that true? There's a lot of things going on in our country today of real confusion. Church growth movement type things that they're all concerned about how big the church gets, making people feel good as they come, rather than teaching the truths of God's Word. The foundation for the church is God's Word. You remember in Ephesians, Ephesians 2:20, it says the church is built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, and Jesus Christ is the chief cornerstone. Right? Familiar with that? What does that mean? Well, the teaching that the apostles gave in the early church and the prophets is the foundation teaching that we're to build on yet today, nearly 2,000 years later. They are the foundation. It's a picture there in Ephesians of building a building. They're the foundation. Everything else we do in the church until Jesus comes again is to build on that foundation. And each one of us, in that sense, is described as a brick, if you will, if it's a masonry building, that we're being placed together and God places it in the body where He wants us, and we're building on that foundation of truth, what Jesus taught and then what He revealed to those apostles, until the last brick is laid and the building is finished, and then the rapture takes place and we all go to be with Him because it's done. But in that building, as it's growing, there's going to be people from all over the world. Every tribe, every language group, every nation. That's what the Scripture tells us in Revelation, is a preview of this church raptured in heaven. There's people there from all over the world. Now, that's exciting to be a part of. And we have a part, each one of us, be a part of that thing if we're actively involved in what God wants us. But I like to go back to the Scripture in these things, not so much our programs. So often as we think of ministry here in a church function, we have our programs. We have Sunday school. And the Sunday school committee, they fill the slots. It takes so many people to staff everything, okay? Chuck, as he's making out the usher schedule, he has so many on each rotation for ushers. Welcome center, greeters at the door, whatever we do, nursery schedule, children's church. We fill out a schedule and we fill the slots, right? Appropriately. And often we can always add more, okay? But when you think of that way, you fill the slots and you're done. Now, does everybody have a job yet? Not everybody. Some of us don't want to fill some of those slots, right? I don't particularly care to change diapers. I'm glad there's some of you that really are willing to do that. But you can get a large portion of the church function with all these different programs and activities. You see what I mean? But what we've got to focus on, not so much can I fill a particular slot. God, what is your ministry for me? Where is the focus that you want me to serve? And that'll make a difference in your life. It's not just doing what somebody asks you to do, but that fits in the picture too. But God, how can I be more effective in the gifts and abilities you've given me? What's my job? How can I help encourage others? How can I help see people reached with the gospel? What do you want me to do? See, the New Testament model really is that God wants to use every believer. You read books on church growth and this kind of stuff, they'll say, You cannot plan on everybody being involved. It just will not happen. Everybody will not be involved. Well, practically, that's often true. There are some people that they'll hardly come and attend a church service, let alone get involved and do something. You know what I mean? We understand that kind of thing, and it's not to force everybody, but can they catch the vision? Can we pass on that vision and be so excited about what God wants for us that they will feel left out if they're not involved, see, and want to get involved? That's the difference. I appreciate Seth. Don't you? He's got so much excitement for what he's doing. People want to get involved. Even people like Jean Deves. You know, I just can't understand that kind of stuff. She wants to go down there at her age, see? But I do not care. And she won't either. But you see, that's why we need each other. I'm not like that. I'm not like Seth. You know that. See? We're all different. You're not like me and you're not like him. But God can use us together. See, that's the uniqueness of the body of Christ. Isn't that exciting? And we've got to understand that principle that we're not alike and we mustn't try to make everybody else be like us. And that is a little bit of a problem when we talk about discipleship. Because when we disciple people one-on-one, what do? We try to make them like us. The things that God has taught us personally and how we are personally, we try to make them like us. Well, that'll go for a while, but don't go that way forever. Pass those people on to somebody else that's different so that they get a bigger picture what a Christian really is, not just the way I am. See what I mean? That's important. That's why we've got to understand this thing of the church as a whole. Because if we only do personal discipleship with people, we as an individual can only take them so far, if you will. Where we're weak, they're going to end up weak. They haven't seen the example of what the strengths of somebody else, because God may have then gifted them different. They need the strengths of this other person to be an example. That makes sense? Another thing that excites me is in these days of our culture and moving away from biblical principles and standards, we have people that will come. They are coming from a dysfunctional family, right? Whatever that means, okay? That maybe the family didn't stay together, or whatever the issues are. And there's someone trying to raise a child without a dad or without a mom. How are they going to get the godly example of what a godly dad should be if that child doesn't have one in their home? My personal conviction is we as a church, local churches, should be that place where the world can come and plug into when they get saved, and they can have godly examples among us as those children come to the WANA ministry or that kind of thing. They can see godly men working there. And men, it's important that you help with the WANA too, okay? Not just women. For that very reason, or whatever the thing. You see what I'm saying? There's all kinds of examples. We hear story after story, and our culture is getting more that way all the time. They say out in California, what is it? How many kids don't come from a standard two-parent family, what God intended, huh? They either got four parents or they only got one or whatever, you know. Because of society has changed and turned away from the Word of God. We are to be the refuge for these kind of situations, see. And some of us came from those kind of backgrounds as well. Isn't that true? We've come from situations that wasn't ideal. And we bear some of the scars of those hurts and problems from the past. But the body of Christ is to be that place where we can grow together in a family of God where we see how it's really supposed to be lived out, see, as we function with each other. Do you catch the vision of how God really wants to work us together? Another passage I'd like you to turn, if you got your Bibles, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Just a couple comments on In 12, it talks about the engiftments and the function of the body as a whole. I think we've all heard messages on that. In verse 7, just to reinforce something I already said, but to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. Okay, the spiritual giftments we have are not for ourselves. They're for the body. They're for the whole church. Spiritual gifts are to be used to reaching out to others. If we are not involved in the ministry in some way, whether we recognize the ministry or not, sometimes we don't recognize ministries as ministries. Just being an encouragement, giving people a hug when you can tell on their face they're going through a rough time and you give them a hug, or you say, I'm praying for you as you hear their story and those things. That's a ministry, isn't it? Well, anyway, it's for the common good. Now, one of our hang-ups comes, as Paul lays out in verse 15. If the foot says, because I am not the hand, I am not part of the body, it is not for this reason any less a part of the body. Or if the ear says, the eye, the same thing. It's the idea that oftentimes because we evaluate ourselves and we have a inferiority complex and think, man, God can't use me, I'm just not gifted. I'm not like that person. I'm not like that person. God can't use me. I just can't do those things that they do. See? Well, that kind of feelings that we have is wrong. God didn't intend us to be like that other person. If He did, He would have made us like that person. You see? But He goes on down to verse 18 and He says, But now, excuse me, God has placed the members of each one of them in the body just as He desired. He's given us the giftments that He wants us to have. Now it's our responsibility to trust Him. God, use me. Allow the Holy Spirit to empower you to do the jobs that He wants you to do, whether you feel comfortable doing it or not. You ever remember going to a job on the first day? Did you feel comfortable starting work for a new company or whatever the first day? None of us do. At least I assume that. But that helps us to focus when we step in out of our comfort zone to do ministry of encouragement to others and serving in one way or another, that we consciously need to realize the Holy Spirit has to work through me or this isn't going to get accomplished. What God wants to accomplish isn't going to get accomplished. Now, if our job is being usher, we can pass out the bulletins, we can collect the offering without being empowered by the Spirit of God. You believe that? Just as an example. But to stand there and be concerned and in our hearts praying as people come in, God, encourage them today. And as you see their faces coming in and realizing people are coming here with all different perspectives. Some are rejoicing and some are going through hard times. Can we have that sensitivity to one another to be an encouragement? See, that's what makes a difference, isn't it? But so often, I know I've heard it from different people. I feel those things myself. I can't do this. But God says He's put us there in the body to do the job He's given us to do. Isn't that exciting? Now there's another side. Verse 21. He goes to the other side of the thing. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Or again, the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Sometimes we get a superiority complex in the body of Christ. And we really think that we're pretty special. And we really project ourselves that we don't need everybody. I can handle this on myself, my own. You see? And sometimes when we ought to recruit a team to do the ministry with us, we don't. We just handle everything ourselves. We organize everything ourselves. It's easier that way, isn't it? It's easier if you're and gifted at organizing, it's easier to just do it yourself than to try to get people together. Isn't that hard to get people together? And yet in that, as we get people together, particularly those of you that's good at organizing that kind of stuff, how are you going to pass on to the next person, the next generation, how to do these things if you don't train somebody to do it? You see? But if we get so comfortable in our ministries and our positions that we just keep doing them and doing them and doing them and don't show anybody else how to do it, how's the next generation going to do it? You see? The job of the church is to equip and train others. And so we all need to be involved, but we need to involve other people. Isn't that exciting? God's told us all this stuff. And we know it, don't we? The problem is sometimes we just don't practice it. Isn't that the problem? Have you ever recognized that? We either feel inferiority or superiority, and we just don't accomplish what God wants to accomplish. But it's so unique that God has put us together with other people, and we're all imperfect. God says we're saints, but we're all imperfect. We've all got our hang-ups. We all have our trouble with trusting God. We'll have occasions where we have trouble getting along with other people. God is growing us, maturing us, helping us to overcome those things as we function together in the body of Christ. See, that's why we need a church family. Because there will be somebody among us that we figure, man, I really don't want to be best friends with that person. I struggle with that person, their personality, that kind of stuff. Isn't that true? Don't we have those kind of feelings sometimes? But you see, God puts us together because we're to learn to love Him even when we wouldn't naturally be the best friends. And we can't be best friends of everybody, can we? But we can encourage one another. We can serve one another and let the power of God flow through us to reach out to others so that we as a church family not only will minister now in this generation, but have a church that will be living and active and dynamic in the next generation. But if we don't pass it on, if we don't train our kids, it won't happen, will it? Well, let's pray. Father, this morning, thank You for Your encouragement for these dear people that You've given us together, that we together can be Your local church family here at Open Door. To function together, to love one another, to be the example of what Christians ought to act and how we ought to be. And God, help us to really allow Your Word to sink in our hearts that we would really serve one another. And not only just for ourselves, be internal, but that we would be challenged afresh with reaching out to the community around us with the gospel. And not only this community or the communities that we live in, but to the whole world that needs the gospel. Father, help us to lift up our eyes, to see why You came to this world to die for us and to save us. And move beyond just being thankful that I'm in Christ, but that You've also given us that privilege to serve You as well. Father, encourage us in Yourself. In Jesus' name, amen.